When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let us pray. O Lord, when we consider this solemn account of thy passion, we pray that our hearts may be touched anew with the great love that caused thee to undertake such horrible suffering for us. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we saw Christ's trial before the Jewish authorities, and then last week, his trial before the civil authorities, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Both trials were a perversion of justice. They were a travesty. And it proves that Jesus' death was carried out by both Jew and Gentile. Now today we come to the tragic account of our Lord's crucifixion. The method of execution, cruelest possible, reserved for slaves and the lowest criminals. And Jesus is counted among them. He had to be because he was legally guilty of the sins of all who would believe in him. Someone else was called upon to carry the heavy center upright beam down Via Dolorosa. Jesus carried the cross beam to the place of his own crucifixion, Calvary. Then the two beams were laid on the ground and nailed into the form of a cross. Jesus was laid on the cross and nailed to it. Then they put the cross upright and dropped it into a hole that had been prepared for it. And thanks to the unconscious prophecy of Pontius Pilate, the cross proclaimed to the world, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now let's begin with verse 21. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout." Jesus is suffering on the cross, nails in his hands and feet. And the Roman soldiers, this squad of four, the execution squad, are calmly dividing his clothes among themselves. There are four in this detail. One gets his sandals, one gets his belt, one gets his shirt, and so on. And John mentions his coat, a seamless garment woven from the top throughout. Now this is significant because such a garment was exactly the one the Jewish law prescribed for the high priest. What the Jewish high priest signified in sacrificing animals, shedding blood, Christ, the true high priest, actually accomplishes. He is both the high priest and he is the true Paschal Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Something the Jewish high priest could only ceremonially do, Jesus actually does. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." This seamless garment would have been valuable. However, if they had divided it into four pieces, it would have been worthless. And so they decide to gamble for it, so only one will get it. Now, these Roman soldiers know nothing of the scriptures, but they are unconsciously fulfilling this prophecy of 1,000 years before, which we read in the Psalter selection. They parted my garments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. How often in Scripture do we read of faithful women who served and ministered to Jesus? They attended to him wherever he went. These are the heroines of the Christian church. I won't say they're heroes. Heroes are men. Heroine are women. I'm stuck on being a gentleman. I can't help it. Heroines. They really are. They don't even shrink from attending this awful scene. They can't do anything to help Jesus, but they can show that they love him and be there to show support. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. St. John is standing by the cross with the women, the only apostle who attended. He's a prominent citizen. You remember he was the one who was recognized as being able to be permitted to enter the palace of the high priest. And now he is such a prominent citizen, he can fearlessly be at this place of execution. Until now, Jesus and probably his brothers have been taking care of Mary, his mother, because her husband Joseph has apparently been dead for a while. But now Jesus will no longer be able to care for her, and he wouldn't commit her to his brothers since they don't believe in him. So he commits him to this faithful disciple he loved, St. John. It appears from Scripture that John has a house in Jerusalem and he has another one in Capernaum. We don't know which house he took Mary to, but it was one of them, and he became her support. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. The scripture that was fulfilled by Jesus saying, I thirst, was Psalm 69. In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. So Jesus is fulfilling this ancient prophecy, but it also has a practical reason. He's completely dehydrated, and yet he needs to say the most important thing he said from the cross, and he needs to say it loudly and with joy. It is finished. And yet now, it says in Psalm 22, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. So he needs some fluid before he could make this announcement. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. This vinegar is actually sour, cheap wine, a pot of which the Roman soldiers would have had for themselves. So they take a rod about 4 feet long of hyssop, put a sponge with this wine on it, raise it to Jesus' lips. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now that Jesus had had the sip of wine, he's able to make this announcement It is finished. The word in Greek is tetelestai. It means all is accomplished. Or it can mean paid in full. In the ancient world, when some item was paid in full, for example, a load of lumber, they would write on it, tetelestai, paid in full. All our debt to the broken law has been paid in full. All that Jesus came to do is finished. What joy it must have been for him to say that. His whole 33 years on earth, from conception to death, was of the deepest humiliation. Our catechism says his humiliation consisted first in his being born. The God of the universe, and that in a low condition. It's finished. All the work he came to do, except for the resurrection 3 days later. All the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning him are fulfilled. All that the Jewish priesthood and the temple represented and the ceremonial law are finished. They're fulfilled in the reality of Christ and what he did. National Israel is finished. Its purpose was to be the people through whom the scriptures would come and the Messiah would come. That's been accomplished. And in one generation, the Lord will use the Roman army under General Titus to destroy Israel completely. And because his work was finished, Jesus voluntarily gave himself over to death. He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit, saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that he might be taken away. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon on this Good Friday, meaning in a few hours at sundown, the Sabbath will begin. And the Old Testament law said that those who were nailed up in execution could not be left hanging all night. And this was especially important because this Sabbath was a high day. It was every holy day, every Sabbath was a holy day, but this was a high holy day because it was the Passover Sabbath. So these people who are guilty of the history's greatest sin are very scrupulous about obeying a mere ceremonial law. The victims in crucifixion, you know, I've heard it argued, well, they can't be nailed through the hands because the hands couldn't support their weight. It's true. But the hands didn't support the weight. There was a small piece of wood on the bottom under their feet. You may see crosses in Eastern churches that still have that little piece of wood about this long. Their feet rested on that. And victims of crucifixion were actually standing on that piece of wood. They were bleeding to death through their hands and feet, but they weren't supported by the nails. They were supported by standing. And that means if their legs were broken, they couldn't stand anymore. And they would slump and suffocate. Breaking the legs in this manner was a fairly common practice, we know from ancient documents. After all, it could take hours and hours for the victim to die, and the Roman soldiers got bored waiting. So the Jews, they have a different reason. They don't want these bodies on the cross to profane the Sabbath day that's coming. So they ask the governor, Pilate, to order the Roman soldiers to break the legs of these three men so they will die, and they can take the bodies to the valley of the son of Hinnom where they bury prisoners. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The two thieves are still alive. The soldiers break their legs to hasten their death. But when they come to Jesus, he's obviously dead already. But just to be positive, one soldier takes his spear and thrusts it into his side. Blood and water come out. Symbolism of this is unmistakable. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus' blood has been shed. The water in Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing work of the Spirit who regenerates us, who gives us faith and repentance, makes us new creatures, gives us the power to live the Christian life. Blood and water. In theological terms, justification and sanctification. Baptism and Holy Communion. O Rock of Ages, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. St. John is witnessing this, and he's writing this as an eyewitness of exactly what happened. That's why he can say, I know it's true. He was there. And he assures us that it's true because he wants us to believe. And if you're of the truth, you do believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. What rule was this? This is Exodus rule, Deuteronomy. A bone of whom shall not be broken? A bone of the Passover lamb. It's forbidden to break any bone of the Passover lamb. Here is Jesus, the true Passover lamb, and no bone of him was broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. It was Zechariah 12. They've already pierced his hands and feet, as we read in Psalm 22. And now with this final coup de grace, they fulfill Zechariah's prophecy. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. We learned elsewhere in Scripture that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He was an honorable man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And he had become convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. But he kept it to himself for fear of the Jews. He was a secret Christian. Now, normally there should never be a secret Christian unless it's absolutely necessary. If you live in Saudi Arabia or North Korea, you have to be a secret Christian. And you know, there are a lot of Christians in those places, Saudi Arabia. our missionaries in Middle Eastern Reformed Fellowship broadcast their shortwave, the gospel in Arabic, by the internet. They have Bible studies, not a converse, but they're secret Christians. But other Jews in Israel weren't secret Christians. The disciples weren't. Now he's decided he's going to publicly declare himself to be a follower of Jesus. Because he's a prominent citizen, he has no problem convincing Pilate to let him have custody of the body so he can give him an honorable burial. It was permitted under Roman law, when a criminal was executed, that a friend could take the body and give it an honorable funeral. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of Jews, the Jews is. Nicodemus, another secret Christian, came to Jesus by night so no one would know. Also a member of the Sanhedrin. He had spoken against the decision to bribe Judas to betray Jesus. And now he too shows openly he's a follower. And so he joins Joseph of Arimathea in custody of this body. 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes for the embalming. The Romans, for the most part, didn't embalm. They practiced cremation. The Egyptians mummified. But the Jews, because of the truth of the resurrection, always were very careful about burial. So they embalmed bodies and gave them a proper burial. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. We know from the other Gospels that this tomb was hewn out of solid rock, and it belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man. And this fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53. He made his grave with the rich in his death. Many, many years ago, I was in Jerusalem and I went to the Garden Tomb. I think it impressed me more than anything else I saw in Palestine. You're seeing the very place where for 3 days the body of the God of the universe lay, right here in this world. You can still go there. It shows that Christianity is a historical religion. We're talking about things that happened in this world, in our history. You can go visit it. Well, this concludes the account of the crucifixion. What a terrible account it is. But it also shows the amazing love of God. All this to accomplish the salvation of those who don't in any way deserve it and could never earn it themselves. Father loved us before all worlds chose us and sent his Son to suffer and die for us as well as obey the law for us. The Son loved us and gave himself for us. The Holy Spirit loved us, regenerated us, and made us new creatures with life in Christ forever. We do not know, we cannot tell what pains he had endured, had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Amen. Holy Father, may the love of God shown to us in our salvation. Ever fill our hearts that we may return it to thee and show it to others. Amen.